got Wallace Glenn versus RC Carlton. It's the rematch. So let's not waste no time. Let me get both gentlemen on the line. Wallace, are you there?
Yes, right here.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me good?
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, let me see. Is this Ronnie? If we got technical difficulties here.
I'm
Wallace,
here.
You still there?
Oh, yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. I got both gentlemen online. We're well aware of the rules and how this is going to go. I've already got two people in waiting. So, Wallace, have you decided who's going to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay. All right. Let's see who the first caller is. Caller 540-259, you're on the air. What's your question?
Hey, what's going on? This is Maurice. Maurice Athey.
Hey, how you doing, Maurice?
There ain't a whole lot. How's everything going, fellas?
There you go. I'm ready.
All right.
Ready to go.
All right, so my question is, from 1999 until now, the NBA has been dominated basically by two teams. The Los Angeles Lakers and the San Antonio Spurs. Which coach has been the better coach during that time span, Phil Jackson or Greg Popovich?
All right. Let's see. Wallace, you go first.
Is that until now? Okay. Well, I would say since 1999, I would have to say. Greg Popovich. The reason why I'm saying him because they've been more consistent over the course of the years since 1999, and they won five titles, which is probably the same as Phil won, but with the Spurs, they've maintained the same core, and he's coached, and they wanted to play for Popovich. They never tuned him out. The leaders of his team, they respect him, and they just don't tune him out. They lead, and they go by what Popovich wants. And so they've been pretty consistent. I can't say the same for Phil because he's left and came back. And the players don't seem to have as much respect as they do for Popovich. So that's my opinion.
All right. Ronnie?
This is what he does. You got a guy who follows, who just makes these claims with no information to back him up. People don't respect Phil Jackson with 11 rings as much as they do Popovich. He's probably confusing the question of being a coach with being a general manager. Phil Jackson, now we're looking at their postseason record as of last year, and this year didn't improve it. We have Phil Jackson with a 68 winning percentage, 11 championships, 13 final appearances total. If you take off the six final appearances for the Bulls, that's seven. And you take off the six championships, that's five. So you have a guy who is constantly winning. The reason why Popovich has been even successful is because Phil is retired. When he didn't have those rings when Phil was there, he didn't have the same amount of rings. He got two after Phil retired. So you have Phil Jackson, who has 11 rings, and that kind of and the three-peats, more importantly. It's not consistent if you go up, win, then go back down, losing the first round. Phil always had his team in contention for a title. You can't say the same for Greg Popovich. How many times have you seen a Phil Jackson team get lose in the first round? It doesn't happen.
All right, Wallace, you got a reply to that?
Well, where RC is going wrong at is, number one, he's not listening to the question that was presented to us. He said from 1999 until now, Phil Jackson won those other six rings with the Bulls.
And I subtracted it, dummy. I subtracted the Bulls rings. You're not even listening.
No, you said
you're not even listening to what I'm saying.
You kept saying he won 11 titles. He said from 99 till now, he won the same amount as Popovich. So what I'm saying is that Popovich has been consistent over the years since 99. He's never left. The teams never went down like the Lakers have, even though I'm a Lakers fan. I'm admitting it. So from 99 to now, it's been Popovich.
You got 1 minute, man. That's all you got to say?
That's all I have to say. He said from 1999 till now. And he's won five rings, and they haven't won back-to-back, but they've been consistent over the years as far as they'll come back the following year and win. And they've never had a down year where they missed the playoffs with Popovich. Right. The Lakers have missed the playoffs.
Ronnie?
In this process.
Do you hear this guy? He doesn't even know what he's talking about. Phil Jackson hasn't coached the Lakers in how many years? And when did Phil Jackson miss the playoffs with the Lakers? The Lakers have been missing the playoffs, and Phil hasn't been coaching. He's claiming that the Lakers have been missing the playoffs. Phil's not the coach. It hasn't been in years. What he's saying is false. Phil started coaching before Greg Popovich. He retired before Greg Popovich. He came back and retired again. Like, what he's saying is factually incorrect. I said 11 championships, 13 final appearances, minus the six. I had the total. I said minus the six Bulls won. There's still more appearances in there. And he's conflating the Lakers with Phil Jackson. The Lakers haven't been sorry with Phil Jackson. He retired after they got swept by Dallas. They were in the playoffs. They were always consistent with Phil Jackson as a coach. You can't count Phil Jackson not coaching against Popovich coaching.
Greg, Phil Jackson left the Lakers. That we're talking about consistency. Popovich has been consistently with the Spurs, and they've never missed the playoffs in this time period. And they've won five titles, and they're still in contention.
So Phil wasn't consistent when he was the coach. So you're punishing Phil for retiring? He started coaching 10 years before him. He started
turmoil.
Coaching before Pop.
They had turmoil on the field. Shaq left. They missed the playoffs. Then they brought back Phil and Kobe and them.
And they went to the playoffs to the Phil. Yep. Every time they brought back Phil, they went back to the playoffs.
Gentlemen. The question was about who's more consistent. I think you both have responded well to that. We're going to move on to the next question from the caller of 856-562. Your question will be presented to Ronnie first. Go ahead. 856-562. All right, we'll come back to that person. Let's see here. 703-350, you've been waiting a long time. Your question to Ronnie.
Yeah, what's going on, Ronnie? It's Malone.
What's up, Malone?
So my question is, with today being such a point guard dominated game compared to, you know, the way that basketball used to be with the big man dominating, what, in your opinion, is the greatest factor that's led to that?
That's a good question. I think the greatest factor to that is society. We're a more individualized culture. You have AAU and things like that, and you're crowning these kids from eighth grade, and they want to put the ball in the bucket. It's not the same culture of pass first, and the coaches in AAU can't coach the same way they could coach another kid that you normally could in high school because these kids can leave and go somewhere else. So also, I think the talented players, instead of playing shooting guard, they're playing point guard. A player like Russell Westbrook would not have been put as shooting guard. He might have been a small forward. He wouldn't have been a point guard. He might have been a shooting guard or a small forward 15, 20 years ago. But instead, they've chosen to put him at point guard. And so you're getting great athletes playing point guard, whereas the great athletes weren't at point guard, and people are taking advantage of those things. So I think all of those factors account for it.
All right. Wallace?
Okay, I would say the biggest factor is the lack of big men that have been developed in the last few years. Most of the big men have come up, they've wanted to play guard. And, you know, then the fact of where the three-point shot is more consistent, the three-point shot is more wanted. It counts more points and more to. They just want the 3-point shot to come in and take over. The 3-point shot took over, so it puts the big men out to the perimeter, and the guards are more the bigger factor.
Ronnie?
He didn't even answer the question. Is anybody listening to this? The 3-point shot counts more. God, what a great breakdown. Three-point shot counts more. Three counts more than two. You're brilliant. Three counts more than two. Isn't this my time, moderator? I'm responding. I'm rebutting.
He has been muted.
Thank you. Three is more than two. What a brilliant guy. He didn't answer the question. He talked about the decline of the big man. He talked about a 3-point shot. The point guards aren't the main one outside of, like, Curry, aren't the main one shooting the threes that you're seeing them jacking up the threes compared to the other position. Now, he did not address why point guards were taking over the game and being so dominant. He addressed why the big man left, but why isn't it a power forward? Why isn't it a shooting guard? Why isn't it a small forward? But he did not answer the question. You heard him stumbling. You heard him stammering because he had no idea what the hell he was talking about, and he tried to coast through it. Three is more than two. It's worth more. Good point, Wallace.
Wallace?
They used to. So the league is more towards the perimeter. Because of this.
Wallace, it's your turn,
yes, man. Hello?
Can you explain to people what you mean? When you talk about the 3-pointer and how that has had an effect on point guards dominating?
Well, that's because of the analytics that's out there now. I was saying the analytics is driving it more towards the 3-point shot because it's worth more points, and they consider that a better shot than a mid-range. So more of the point guards now are shooting 3-pointers. And that's why more of the whole structure of the offenses are geared towards a 3-point shot. So obviously the leader of that is the point guards because there's a lack of big men that can dominate. So they say, hey, the better shot is a 3-point shot. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Now, I don't necessarily agree with what you said, Wallace. I'm sorry. But if I can kind of play off of what Malone asked you guys. A question for both of you. Ronnie, you can answer first. How much of the change in the way people play defense, in the way people seem to be more athletic now, how much does that influence the point guard position and needing them to score more often than what you used to have?
Is this for me or is this to Wallace?
This is for you, and Wallace can answer after that.
Okay. Well, I think that it's not – I don't necessarily know that it's because they're more athletic. I think it's because the rules have changed. You can't touch them anymore, so you have more ability to get to the hole, the flagrant fouls as well. I know that sounds old school, but also taking away the illegal defense, and now you have a different – you have defenses that can – playoff of shooters, like you saw with Tony Allen and Memphis, they just totally ignore people. So you couldn't do that back in the 80s. So the point guards, I think, to some degree, take it upon themselves to do the scoring when the team is deficient of other players on the court, because there might be a specialist or something like that, or the point guard is taking it upon themselves to drive and kick. They want to generate the offense. And the league has just gone more pick-and-roll heavy because it still plays into the strengths of the point guards. So combination of all that stuff I just said.
All right. Wallace?
Okay, ask the question again.
Said, how much do you think the change in the game as far as the athletes that are involved in the game of basketball right now, has that influenced point guards into having to do more than what they're normally used to doing or what we're used to seeing them do?
Well, yeah, it's because of the athletic ability. Everybody's more faster now. They jump higher. They're quicker than it used to be. So it's more open. The offenses of the league is more wide open. Offenses are wide open, so they have to get out and run. And like you said, the pick and roll and So it's more or less the athleticism of the guards, the Westbrooks, the Damian Lillards. All these guards have more athletic ability. So that's why they more getting out and running.
All right. We're going to take another call. 804-304, you are on.
How's it going? It's Corey. I'm glad you didn't share my whole number. But I do have a question, just kind of more about today's NBA in the last 10 years or so. Or you can even take it back to the post-Jordan era. What would you say is the most important aspect of a team? Is it an elite defense, or would you rather have an elite offense for your ball club?
All right, Wallace.
Okay, well, with today's offenses, the way it's geared up, pick and roll, the analytics that stress the three-point shot, is more of the offense now. Is if you have an offense that can be stopped, that outperforms a defense. You can have a good defense, but whoever has the best offense, the best shooters, the best player, that was evidenced in the finals. You had Cleveland going against Golden State. Golden State had the better shooters, the more three-point shooters. And when they lost Kyrie Irving and they lost Kevin Love earlier, you can see it's because of the lack of offense is why they lost. They played defense. Cleveland played tough defense with the power forward that was in place of Kevin Love. So they played.
Whose name you don't know?
Which I know his name. I'm just thinking of it right now.
What's his name?
Is he coming in on my?
Nope, he has been muted. Go ahead. Wallace.
Coming in on my thing. So what I'm saying is that
finish up, Wallace.
Tristan Thompson is the power forward I'm thinking of. When he came in, they were better defensively. They were actually better defensively than they was with Kevin Love in the lineup. But with the lack of offensive power, it was evident Golden State was going to win. So I'm saying it's more. You need more of the offense over the defense in today's game.
All right, we're going to let Ronnie get his say in. Ronnie, go ahead.
And Tristan Thompson, tricky name. Now, if you look at over the last few years, you will see that no team in the last 20 years, one team possibly, I have to look at it to double check, but basically 1 to 0 teams have not been in the top 10 defensive rankings and won an NBA championship. It looks, things like Wallace is saying, it may look, but it's not true. Like, for example, the Heat were 6th in offensive efficiency. The Dallas Mavericks, when they won, they were 8th, but the Heat were 4th in defensive ranking. The Mavericks were 7th. The Miami Heat, when they won, when they got there, they were number 5 in defensive efficiency. So you're going to find that constantly, the Celtics, when they were there in 2009, 13th in offense, 5th in defense. The Boston Celtics, again, 2007, 2008, 12th in offense, number 1 in defense. Defense still wins championships, and it's stated by the stats. You could be an okay offensive team, but you have to play defense to win in the playoffs. That's when everybody cranks it up, and the stats are on my side.
Wallace, you have a rebuttal?
Okay, what he's saying is that the guy was asking about what's better today. We're not going back way in the past. We're going back what's important today. With the offensive efficiency is what's wanted and what's needed in today's game. It's the offense that's more important. And it shows by the teams that have won. They are the better offensive players. Better, they say it's better offense and better defense. So it's more the offense that wins. With LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, that was in Miami, they're the better offensive players. And then with the Spurs, they beat the Heat the next year with Tim Duncan in the game. Tony Parker, Kawhi Leonard, these guys can score. They didn't play as defense like they used to. The Spurs used to play, but it was the better offensive players. The system, They outshot Miami in the wins. Every team that won the last few years have outshot the other team.
Ronnie?
He did not ask today's game only. He said over the last 10 years or so. And that's why I read. No, no, you said today's game. You said he's not talking about the past, today's game. And then I read for the last 10 years. But you corrected me and said he's not talking about the past. Well, last 10 years is the past. And I read off the last 10 years that most of the time the team that's won the championship has been a higher-rated defensive team than offensive team. The Golden State Warriors was the highest-ranked defensive team all year long and in the playoffs.
Can I come in now, or do I have to wait till he finishes?
I think he's done. He's got a pretty strong
come on
team.
In, Wallace.
Okay, the last teams that won the finals, the last five at least had the better offensive ratings, the better percentage, shooting percentages, as the Spurs did to the Miami Heat last year. They set a record for offensive efficiency. Then this year, the Golden State Warriors did the same thing. So now the league is just going more towards offense, and the defense is not as needed as it was in the past. That's all I'm saying. And anybody know that basketball would know that.
Okay. All right. We're gonna
laugh all you want to, but Steph Curry is a test to that.
All right, Wallace, don't make me get another call in.
Oh man.
856-562, you're on.
Yo.
Yo, ask your question.
What do you think about retread coaches in the NBA? Should we nip that in the bud and go all fresh faces or keep trying retread?
Who is this?
Big John.
Who?
Big John, Washington.
Oh, okay.
Somebody
want to give his name like a gangster or something. Man.
What was the question again?
Whose question is this?
The question is, what do you
no,
got?
Whose question? I'm going to ask Alan. I heard his question.
It's your question, Ronnie.
Thank you. It all depends, because a lot of these coaches are getting fired, like Lionel Hollins or even Mark Jackson, who I sort of agree with that firing. But a lot of these guys are getting fired, and they're having very successful tenures at their team. So that's somebody that, or even the Kings coach, Malone, who was fired when they were just getting back on track, and then Cousins got hurt. A lot of these guys have something going, and then they get fired, or George Karl, who's coach of the year, and gets fired. But, so if you get fired and you had like a 60 winning percentage, then okay, I can see that. But a lot of these guys are retreads, and you'd like to see some new blood get in there. I like what Brad Stevens has done in Boston. He's breathed some life, obviously. They haven't put the greatest team on the court, but he's done a good job coaching them. And I think that when you give new people opportunity, like Budenholzer from San Antonio that went to Atlanta, I think you get good results. So I think, obviously, you want to give some of these guys a shot that may have been fired unfairly or for political reasons. But in general, I want to see new blood because we see what people like George Karl have to offer.
All right. Wallace?
Well, I kind of feel the same way, except that there's a couple of people like Greg Popovich that deserve to stay in, you know, long-term coach. But the retreads like George Karl and some of these guys like Alvin Gentry, just retreads, they need to give the young guys or guys from college, they need to give them a chance. Because the college systems are more tailored to the pro game now with a three-point shot. That's more of a pro-type game. So I would say give more of the younger college coaches a chance. Give some of the assistant coaches in the NBA a chance. But the retreads that had their chance, they need to go. Even the Lakers coach, Byron Scott, he's had plenty of opportunities. He couldn't get it done where he went before. So you need to give the college coaches and the NBA assistants, the younger ones, a chance. Let's see what they can do.
Hey, Big John, it seems that they tend to agree a little bit on this particular subject. Do you have a follow-up?
Whose dog is that? Whose dog out there?
Don't worry about the dog.
Do you have a follow-up question?
Don't worry about the dog.
The dog answers better questions. He answers the questions better than you.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
It was not good. True.
John.
And the follow-up question is,
okay,
if they got rid of retreads, would these young cats listen to college coaches if they came into the league? The way the league is set up, where it's all money-based. Nobody has to listen to these young guys. So where's the happy medium with younger guys coaching these guys that's making millions of dollars?
It's got to be Wallace, right? I started first last time.
Yeah, Wallace.
Yeah, well, the older coaches, they just not listening to them. They run more of a old-fashioned 1980s, 1990s offenses. The young guys want to get out and run and shoot threes. And so they're just tuning the older retreads out. That's why they're getting fired so quickly. The hard-nosed coaches, the stress defense, and the older ones, they're getting fired quicker. The younger guys are the ones to go with, the players' coaches. They call them player coaches, the younger guys that can relate to these guys that came straight out of high school in the last few years or played 1 year in college. So I believe the players relate more, the younger coaches relate more to the younger players. So they need to have to move on from the older retreads, move towards the future.
Ronnie?
Bottom line, the NBA, if you don't have a resume, they are not going to respect you. Brad Stevens, I thought, was a questionable hire. And I think one of the reasons why he's been so successful is because of the turnover in the roster of the Celtics. So he's got young guys basically a little bit older than college, and he's coaching them. But in general, when you bring a college coach up, it better be a Coach K. It better be a Calhoun. It better be a Izzo. It better be a Billy Donovan. If you bring just a random coach from from Georgia Tech, you're not going to get that same respect. So it doesn't matter if you're a pro or college or an assistant. You've got to have the players' respect, and your resume has to command their respect.
All right. Hey, John, thanks for calling, man. Good question.
How do you get two questions? What on earth?
Hey,
this might be
you guys were on the same page a little bit on that first initial question, so I wanted to see how in-depth we could get so people can get an understanding of your knowledge.
I'm teasing John. Okay. Old.
Hey, man, don't make me use this mute button. I've been calm, man. I've been
calm. Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah,
you got to do what you got to do.
858-829, you are on. This question is for Wallace. Or actually for Ronnie, sorry. Ronnie.
He
just went last time. He went first and last time.
You just went on a second question. You went on a second question with John. I told you to go.
Okay.
Hello, who is this? Hey, it's Manny Pacquiao from the Philippines, man. Hey, I'm calling from the Philippines. First of all, I just want to thank God for giving me the strength. My shoulder is all healed better now. Thank you, Lord. Second of all, Alan Sandage dog. Sounds like he tastes good.
We're going to switch to another time. 240-688, you are on.
All right, how you guys doing? It's Ben Pavone.
What's up, man?
I got a real simple question. That way Wallace can keep up. Who will have a better year this year?
See how this naked, see? Go ahead.
You asked for this. This is your team, so you better get this question. Who's going to have a better impact on their team this year? Is it for the Lakers? Is it Roy Hibbert? Or is it the rookie that got injured last year, Julius Randle?
Oh, that's a good. Do I go first?
No, Ronnie goes first.
It's supposed to be. It's my turn. I'm going to say Julius Randle. I don't have a lot of faith in Hibbert. Dude's game is trash. I believe he was overhyped a little bit. Winning seems to cure all. He was never a great scorer. He's not a very good athlete. He's just a guy with a big size. He's very good at the verticality thing, and he is a rim protector. But he's just not going to help them offensively, and their defense is going to be so bad on the perimeter. I don't care how good of a rim protector you are. You're going to eventually pick up fouls and be hurt by it. I think Randle has a lot of potential. Given the ball, he's got a good back to the basket game. He's a good finisher. All this time off, hopefully he's developed a 16-foot jumper as well. So I'm going with Randle.
Wallace?
Well, I'm gonna have to go with Randle too, because Hibbert, his game is shot. His mental ability is gone. He can't take teammates with tough or strong mentalities like a Kobe Bryant. Just like at Indianapolis, he couldn't take the bantering and couldn't take the ribbing from Lance Stephenson. Him and Lance Stephenson got into it over a woman, which I've heard, and his mental game, he just went down mentally. So his game is shot. And then with the Lakers, Julius Randle is just a better athlete. Only thing with him, hopefully his leg is healed. And he looked good in the summer league. He looked healthy. If his leg healed, he definitely would have a better impact than Hibbert, because Hibbert doesn't bring anything to the table anymore. Even his verticality game, which RC just stated on, is not any good anymore, because the refs don't give him the benefit of the doubt anymore like they used to. So he's just useless. They can't go to him. It'll slow their offense down because he takes 10 or 15 seconds with each shot. So the answer is Julius Randle in a landslide.
All right. Ben, you got a follow-up question?
Yeah. So with the big free agency and trades this year, who do you think will have a better impact for their team? You think it will be Rajon Rondo for the Kings, knowing their roster, or you think it will be Ty Lawson for the Rockets, knowing their roster?
Okay, easily it'll be Ty Lawson. He's just at this point in time, he's a much better player than Rajon Rondo. Much better player. Rondo doesn't shoot well from the three-point range. Lawson can shoot fairly well from three-point range. And he's quicker right now. He's just a better ball player. Rondo's attitude isn't up to par. He doesn't want to listen to coaches. I really don't understand how he went to Sacramento to play under George Karl. Because with his attitude, he already doesn't listen. And George Karl is known to clash with players who don't listen. So that right there is going to eliminate that. Ty Lawson is going to give Houston the point guard that they really need. Really need. So that's my opinion.
Ronnie?
It's Lawson. We'll see how big of a factor he actually is. He's got some issues with the DUIs. But if nothing else, I've always been a fan of his game, but if nothing else, it's his by default. At this point, Rondo is a cancer. He's been on two teams in two seasons last year, and he was a mess. The team voted that he'd not get his playoff share. And most of all, he's going to hurt Cousins' post-up game, because Rondo likes to dominate the ball and dribble around and around and around until he gets an assist. And that's not what Cousins needs around him. It's not like they're going to run a pick and roll together and get something out of that. So you got a style clash there that doesn't really work. And also, Rondo can't just shoot from 3-point. He can't shoot anywhere, be it 2-point, 3-point, free throw line. His skills are limited. He's never been the same since he came back from ACL. Sorry, Jade.
All right, hey, man, thanks for calling in. We're going to go back to Manny Pacquiao, see if he's got himself together.
I thought Manny was going to ask a question.
Manny's
talking about anything
but basketball. Manny.
It was a good. Manny's a ball player. And it was a good accent.
Yeah. Well, not a real Manny one. Manny can't play no ball, though.
Hey, not real. Go ahead. Is he there? 856-562. All right, I guess he's not there. Hey, they must have got a bad connection in the Philippines, man. Must be a monsoon or something. Let's see here. 703-350. You have another question?
give me like 2 minutes. I wasn't expecting to ask another question here.
All right, I'll come back to you.
What is this clown? What is going on?
540-259. Do you have a question?
James Harden, the real MVP. But anyway, who is the best low post player in the NBA right now?
All right. Ronnie, you're first.
Wow. That's a good question. I'm partial to Paul Gasol. He's still dangerous on the block, but it's not him. And also, like, his brother Mark, very good on the post. But at this point, it's Boogie Cousins. He's just dominant. You have to, he commands a double team. He's probably, maybe, the most dominant post player we've seen since Shaq retired, or Shaq was closer to his prime. Boogie's just a load, and most people don't get to see him because he's in Sacramento. Not a fan of his antics, but he's a beast. He really is.
Wallace?
Well, once again, he's agreeing with me, or I'm agreeing with him. It has to be DeMarcus Cousins. If I could think of somebody else, trust me, I would, to go against him. But it's DeMarcus Cousins, no question about it. 6'11", 270 pounds. He can shoot outside. He can shoot in the up to 18 foot. He can get down on low post, do jump hooks, spin moves, up and unders. He can bully people with his size. He can rebound inside. He crashes the offensive boards, which a lot of big men don't do these days. Most of the guys just run back down the court after somebody shoot a three. But he actually crashes offensive boards, and that brings more points. So, really, there's nobody else that's near him right now. Certainly not Dwight Howard. So it would have been Dwight Howard back in the days, but right now it's Boogie Cousins.
All right, since we're on the topic of post players, I got a question about post moves. And Wallace, you can answer this first. What's the more unstoppable post move, the Dream Shake or the Jordan Fadeaway?
The more unstoppable move is going to be the Dream Shake because he's closer to the basket. He can do the turnaround jumper to the right. He can do it to the left. He can fake and go to up and under. He has a great footwork because of his ability. When he grew up playing soccer, he didn't start playing basketball until he was about 15 years old. So his footwork was highly developed. So he has ability to maneuver, throw jump hooks, but all of that comes from the threat of the Dream Shake. So even though Jordan was great and he developed that turnaround jumper later on in his career, Akeem did it the whole career. So I think his is more effective.
Ronnie?
Just to spice things up, I mean, I probably maybe would say the Dream Shake, but I'll spice things up and go with Jordan and his fadeaway jumper. The way the triangle worked, they would let Jordan play on the post a lot when he developed post game later into his 30s, and he bulked up a little bit. He'd play on the post. And the thing about Jordan and Dream, you know, can't take anything away from Dream, but Jordan had two guards like Craig Elo guarding him. So Jordan has even more of an advantage than the Dream would have against a center because he's going against some John Starks or Craig Elo or Byron Russell from Utah, or even Reggie Miller. So when you got that big an advantage on the block, that makes Jordan's move unstoppable just because of who he's going against, where the Dream is going against people like Mutombo. Even Dave Robinson got burned, but he got burned that serious. Or Shaq or those people, still more difficult. Everybody wants to look at that 1 year, but there were other years where Dream wasn't as successful.
Wallace?
Now, I believe, like I said before, it's the Dream Shake. He's bigger. He's had advantage, the same advantage Jordan had over the guards he was talking about. Akeem had the quickness advantage over the other centers. He was quicker, better athlete. His quickness was almost that of a shooting guard. So he was just quicker. That's the advantage he had over the other centers and more athletic. So I would have to go to the center. If I'm going to go inside and want a short inside points, I'm going to have to go with the Dream Shake over a guard posting up.
Ronnie?
It's just inherently harder, no matter, even if it's the Dream, it's inherently harder to shoot over Dikembe Mutombo than it is John Starks. I don't care what your height is. I mean, you're talking about right, Reggie Miller, John Starks, this is a stick work. What?
Can I jump in?
Go ahead.
You've been flat-footed. People like Manute Bol, who he went up against.
Manute Bol, come on, stop. That was the main competition.
You name
a great defender. A great defender.
These guys, you name it, people with height and size. Well, he used
if it was so unstoppable, how come they didn't win until Jordan retired?
if it was so
let me correct you on that one. They did win while Jordan was there, if you don't remember.
I didn't say they did. I just said they didn't win. They did not win initially. Initially, they did not win. They did not win until he retired. The first year. They did not start winning until he retired.
I never said that.
I never said they never won until Jordan retired. I said they did not start winning until Jordan retired. He came back for half the season. Yes, I'm well aware of that. For the first season, they did not win a championship until he retired. That's a factual statement. They did not win a championship until he retired.
A lot of people want to make it look like Jordan was pristine.
But that's not what I said. Did they win a championship before he retired? Did they win a championship before he retired? True or false? That's what I said. So, did they win a championship before he retired? Wallace, yes or no?
Did they win a championship before Jordan retired?
Did who win? Houston?
Yes, that's what we're talking about.
Okay, there's a lot of teams that didn't win a championship.
But you tried to correct me. But they did not win a championship before Jordan retired.
He won while Jordan was playing. So, a lot of people say that.
But that's not what I said. Who are you debating? A lot of people are me.
You think
a lot of people in me.
Okay,
I'm RC.
Saying,
I'm not a lot of people.
Let's forget that. Let's
that's why you can't. That's why you debating a lot of people. You debating me.
All right, let's see if we can get Pacquiao back on. Because obviously he's not paying attention to the question. All right. Manny. Are you there, Manny? 856, are you there?
Let's get some old school questions. Let's get some history. Somebody bring some history.
Don't beg for questions. You the one that wanted the questions. Now you begging for topics.
Right, anybody know history?
Well, I hope they don't ask about Kobe.
Wallace, old school. It's not that old school, but it's old enough.
This dude begging for questions because he gets.
I'm not begging. I just said let's mix it up. Let's get some history.
Better backcourt. Listen. Better backcourt. For a championship. We're talking about backcourt duos, okay? They won a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Thomas and Joe Dumars or Earl Monroe and Walt Frazier.
What are you asking? Who's the better?
Yeah, who was the better duo during that championship year?
Do I go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Well, I would have to say Isaiah and Dumars. Obvious. They were just better athletes than the guys back then in the early 70s. They were just better athletes. Isaiah was quicker. He's just as clutch as Frazier. And Dumars would hold his own against Monroe. So and then they were better defensively. They were more hard-nosed and hardcore. They were better defensively than Monroe and Frazier, which they did play defense, but not at the level Isaiah. And Dumars had to go up against Michael Jordan in playoffs. And Jordan was 6'6", great athlete. Nobody as good as him in the history of the game. And Dumars had to battle him, and he put him out the playoffs a few times until Jordan broke through. So they were just better offensively and defensively than Monroe and Frazier.
All right,
we're gonna get
Ronnie on. Ronnie, you got the floor. I'm gonna mute Wallace. You can have the floor. The question
right.
was better.
Better after the question, definitely the Bad Boys, Pistons. I got a special place in my heart. But if you look at the clutch player that Isaiah was, his performance on a bad ankle, scoring 25 points in a quarter in the finals. You also look at Dumas, the defensive stopper he was, and Earl Pearl and Clyde Frazier are two of the most overrated players. If they didn't play for New York, if they won a championship in Seattle, or if they won a championship in Washington, no one would ever care about those dudes. Walt Frazier is the Joe Namath of professional basketball. So this is really not even that close if you really ever watch these teams play. The Knicks had one of the best teams of all time. I would give them that. But the whole was greater than the sum of the parts.
All right. Let's see if we can get another call in. Let me go back to 703-350. You have a question? Nope. People are on, but they're not asking questions. 540-259. Do you have a question?
Yes, sir. It's Maurice again. Which center
was more dominant, Jabbar or Wilt?
Wasn't that question asked the last debate?
Yeah, I think that was the question.
Why are we complaining about the questions? And he asked for this to happen. He asked for this to happen. You asked for the callers. Now you're trying to dictate what the callers can ask.
I'm not dictating. I'm just saying what's in the last debate, though.
What's it got to do with anything? You wanted this. You wanted them to call in. So they get to ask what they want to ask. Do I get to talk?
Yeah, go ahead.
Or are we going to listen to Wallace complain about the questions? Not only did Wilt have the 100-point game in 61-62, he had a 75-43 game. Wilt had a triple-double with double digits, and he had a quadruple triple-double, basically. So he had like 20 points, 20-some rebounds, 20-some assists. I mean, you're talking about a revolutionary player that no one can stop, that everybody talks about like he's a freak athlete of any generation, could snatch a quarter off the top of a backboard, couldn't be stopped. The exaggerations about him playing against smaller players isn't true, because all these players either have a 7-footer or a 6, all these teams had a 7-footer or a 6'10 guy. There were only 8 teams in the league, so it wasn't watered down. So it's Will Block.
All right. Wallace?
I'm going to have to go the same one. I'm going with Wilt Chamberlain. As far as the question, he said who was the most dominant. I'm going to have to say Wilt Chamberlain. He was Shaq before Shaq. When it comes to dominance, I would have to say that. He dominated his era more than Kareem dominated in his era. Even though Kareem is the all-time leading scorer, it's just the dominance that Wilt Chamberlain parlayed over the people of his era, smaller players, the smaller players in general. The average height was probably 6'7" for centers back then. So it was more like Wilt Chamberlain. I would have to say dominant. He was like he could have been Shaquille O'Neal's father as far as dominance. I'm going to go with that, even though I love Kareem. He's with my Lakers, won 5 titles. But as far as just dominating the game, I'm going to go with Wilt Chamberlain.
All right, Ronnie, you were laughing. Is there a rebuttal? Anything you want to say?
Other than this dude complaining about the questions, when he designed the structure of the debate for the people to call in, and now he's whining twice about the questions that are being asked. What would you call it? It's my time. I can use my time however I want to use it. This man said that the questions were rigged, and now people are calling in, and he doesn't even like the questions. You're supposed to be able to talk extemporaneously about basketball, whatever it is. But we get complaints, we get whining, we get crying, because they're not to his liking. This is going to be the excuse on the page tomorrow.
All right, we got another caller.
Can I have a rebuttal?
If you want to rebut it, go ahead. I know you wanted to rebut it.
I did not complain about the question. All I wanted to know was to let him know that was the same question as last week. So I don't know if they want to repeat the same question. That's all I was saying. There was no complaint about the question itself. I just did not know if he knew that this question was asked last week's debate. If so, he could have asked another one, or we go with this one like we did. That's all. It was no complaint.
Right, here we go. We got another caller. 804-937.
What up? It's Chris Sims, man.
What's up, man?
What's up, man? I'm enjoying this, man. My man Ron hurt my feelings a little bit talking about my man Clyde Frazier, but anyway.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
You got to do his homework about Clyde.
I'm trying to bring me an extra beer now, but yeah, man. hey, question. While we still hot on this Wilt Chamberlain thing, are Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell, are they Hall of Famers if they're playing in today's game?
Should be Wallace, right?
Wallace, you're first.
Definitely, yes. Because like I said a few minutes ago, if Wilt Chamberlain could have been Shaquille O'Neal's father as far as the games that they played, and at his height, 7'1". Some people said he is 7'2", 275 pounds, a great athlete. Could have been in the Olympics. best he would have tried for it. He's a high hurdler. He's a great athlete. So, yes, he, and then his inside moves would have dominated in today's game with a lack of centers, lack a dearth of centers. He would have easily dominated. So I don't see no reason why he shouldn't. And then Bill Russell, his game translates to today's game, too. Even though he didn't score that many points, he was a rim, the ultimate rim protector. He blocked numerous shots a game. He intimidated the whole team, and he rebounded. So that's the two things that people look for in today's game. Even though he can't score or shoot threes or shoot, he's a rebounder and a rim protector, the ultimate. So, yes, yes, they both would definitely be in the Hall of Fame.
All right, Ronnie?
I think my statement on my statements on Will earlier were very clear. He obviously could. I still think he could dominate and get 35 a game in his prime, at least just based on the athleticism and the skills that he had and the competition that he faced as far as big men of his era was impressive. Now, Russell's a trickier thing. I think if Russell had gone to the right team right now, like if he went to the Spurs, he could be dunking, and you could figure he could figure it out in a different kind of game. Also, the game was faster paced back then, so Russell ended up putting up more shots than you would have normally, because in the 60s, that was the fastest pace of basketball ever. Russell has the athleticism. I've shown clips of him gliding from the foul line and gliding over a guy's head that was near the rim and finishing the shot. But I still do think some of the offensive things, it may be a struggle for him. And it would just depend on if he went to a great franchise. But if he went to a franchise that's traditionally not successful, I'm not sure that he would have been appreciated like he was appreciated as a member of the Celtics. So it just depends on the fit. And with Chamberlain, I think he would have been Hall of Fame no matter what. But with Bill Russell, and some seasons he only shot under 40%, and even back then with the extra shots, I mean, you still need to do a little better on offense. So, and the NBA is so... The Hall of Fame is so easy to get in, so maybe, but I think it definitely would depend on what franchise drafted it.
Well, no, I disagree with him. Bill Russell would have got in regardless. He won at every level that he played in. He won championships in high school. He won two championships at San Francisco, University of San Francisco. He won at least 11 with the Celtics, then won as a coach. Player coach, he's just a winner. He would have made the team that he got on a winner. No matter what team, he would have made them a winner. He was a great athlete, impeccable timing with his blocks. He knocked the ball into play, kept the ball in play, unlike a lot of players today. They want to swat it out of bounds, but he kept the ball in the play. He would have made any team he's on a winner. All he needs is a couple of shooters around him. So, yes, he would have been in automatically, him and Will.
So do I get to rebut, since he rebutted my rebuttal last time?
Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I'm really impressed that he had impeccable timing. I've never known anybody to have impeccable timing. But also, impeccable. You say things, and then you correct them later. But, you know, in a debate, it counts what you say the first time. It's my rebuttal time. My rebuttal time. It's my rebuttal time, right? I'm not being interrupted on the final time. And also, what we're saying here about it, we all said he was a great defender, but it might have helped to have six other Hall of Famers on your team with the Celtics. College is easier for a great player to dominate, but I think you might have to consider that he has six other Hall of Famers into his winning. And also, just to go back to that point, he said he wasn't whining about the other question, but was he whining when he requested more old school questions from the crowd? From the callers? Well, I'm just going to ask that. See, right.
I'm going to ask that the people voting disregard that last statement. It has nothing to do with basketball. All right, here we go. Wallace, you have a rebuttal?
Yeah. Well, I just told him. I said that Dennis Rodman made the Hall of Fame as a rebounder. Just a rebounder in defense. He played with Hall of Famers with Detroit. He played with Hall of Famers with Chicago. So it doesn't matter that Bill Russell had Hall of Famers with him. It's what you're doing while you're out there with him. Are you dominating? And Dennis Rodman probably a worse scorer than Bill Russell was. He's in the Hall of Fame, rebounding and blocking shots and playing straight-up defense, man-to-man defense. That's my only point.
All right. See here.
They're going to disregard his complaints and trying to petition the callers for different questions? Did
Ronnie,
you say disregard
do
that?
Do you have any rebuttal on the Dennis Rodman?
No, I'm asking if you're going to do that. You're moderating.
Do
you're
you
going
have,
to disregard
do you
comments.
Have any rebuttal on the Dennis
I'm
Rodman?
Done with that question, but the moderator ought to be
you
fair. Those were not related
right, cool.
to the debate. He was begging for
questions. Right. I thank you both for calling in. I've got one last question. This would be the final question that you leave the judges with. So use your knowledge to the best. Come up with a good segment here. Let's see. This will go to Ronnie. We'll get the floor first. So I'm going to mute you again, Wallace, but make sure you're paying attention to the question. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Wallace, you hear me?
Yeah, you want me to go second?
Yeah, you're going to go second, but make sure you listen to the question.
Okay.
All right. Ronnie, for the final question, where does Tim Duncan rank on your all-time list for his position, which we're going to assume he's a power forward? What is he
rank? That's a bad assumption, but continue.
All right. Well, he could be a center, whatever you want to put him as. Where does he rank for his position all-time, and where does he rank in the NBA all-time?
I'm going to answer my question. I'm still going to get my point in. It doesn't matter. I'm free to say what I want to debate. This is a debate. So whatever we say is allowed in the debate. So I'm just saying that if he can say and complain about the question, that's not basketball related. And I get to critique what he's saying within the debate. Tonight, if somebody says something that's erroneous or not right, then somebody else is going to come back and say, hey, that dude's whining about the questions because they didn't beat. But if you want to go to the Tim Duncan question, I'm going to say Tim Duncan is the greatest power forward of all time. I don't put rings over everything, but you got to take into consideration how consistent he's been. The Spurs have always won 50 games. If you want to count him as a power forward, even though I think that's an NBA conspiracy to make him higher than he was, because if he was a center, he probably wouldn't be top five. But as a power forward, he's number one all time, even over Karl Malone, who I prefer. But you got to win. So, and you win five times to a guy who didn't win any, and I don't care if Jordan's around, because Jordan did leave for a year and a half, and Karl Malone couldn't still get it done. And so you got to go with Duncan, despite the center power forward controversy. You got to go with Duncan.
All right, well, does he rank on your NBA all-time list?
I have him somewhere 15 to 20. Somewhere 15 to 20. Definitely had the fundamental skills and just a great player, very cerebral. But he's never been the kind of scorer that you got the guys in the top 10 outside of Bill Russell. He's not the scorer that those guys have ever been. And I think you need to carry more of that burden throughout your career to be a top 10 guy.
If he wins a sixth ring, will he move up into the top 10 on your list?
Tough list. He'd probably move to 12 or 11 and just be on the cusp of it. I'd give serious consideration. Probably would put him ahead of Kobe, who's near my bottom 10. So he might scratch number 10, 11, or 12, and I'd drop Kobe down if Duncan were to get another championship. And he continues to perform like he did last year, which is pretty great for a 39-year-old, 40-year-old guy.
All right. I'm going to put you on hold because you're going to come back and get your final statement on the debate and to the judges, okay? All right, Wallace, I'll repeat the question to you, and you can answer it how you see fit. Where does Tim Duncan rank on your all-time list for his position, and then where does he rank all-time on your list for NBA?
Well, I would have to say his position, which is where he played mostly in his career, was, like you said, power forward. And I would have to agree he's ranked number one because of his leadership, his championships, just the sheer consistency. To me, he's number one. He edged out, in my opinion, probably Kevin McHale at power forward. So, yes, he's ranked about number one. But in the all-time position, I would put him in the top 10. I would say about number 9 all-time because of his, like I said, his consistency. He brought consistent winning to that franchise. David Robinson played great in his career, But he was dominated in the finals, in the playoffs, mostly by Hakeem Olajuwon. And so when Tim Duncan got there, they automatically became a championship contender, and they won a title with him. And then they've been winning ever since. Ever since 1996, I believe. They've been winning. They've never missed the playoffs.
Because of the you can almost say instant success Tim Duncan had coming into the league, when you look back at Tim Duncan's career, would you say his NBA success is more so because he's just that talented or fundamentally sound, or do you think Greg Popovich coached him up?
No, I would say it's because of his fundamentals. He went to 4 years in college, which a lot of guys don't go these days. If you have any talent, you're going to come out after your first year. So you're not getting the coaching like Duncan and a lot of guys got back in the early 90s or 80s or whenever. So, yeah, it's a lot to do with him, not Popovich, because Duncan has been there the whole time. He's never rocked the boat. He's never been in trouble. He's just always been consistent. So that's why I would say it's more him than it is Popovich. I think any coach. Go ahead.
If Duncan wins a sixth ring, will he move up on your list? And where?
If he wins six? Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I'm a Laker fan. I'm not a great San Antonio lover, but I give credit where credit's due. If he wins a sixth and surpass the Lakers, Kobe Bryant, Shaq's totals, and tie Michael Jordan for the amount of championships, yes, I would say he would move up to about, I would say seven. He would move up to seven.
All right, hold on. I'm going to let you get your final say to the judges. We're going to bring Ronnie back. He's got his last statement.
Then Abby, this has been a terrible fraud perpetrated upon you. Did you hear him? He said Kevin McHale was the second greatest power forward of all time. Maybe the second greatest moves or the first greatest moves, but Kevin McHale is better than Barkley? McHale said Barkley was better than him. Kevin McHale is better than Karl Malone? Look at the stats. Look at that. It's just insane. This is constant stuff that he's saying. He can't get specific. He talks in generalities. I'm talking about Wallace Glenn now. He just said that Tim Duncan would surpass Shaq with rings. He just said that. And that's not true. Tim Duncan has already surpassed Shaq with rings. He couldn't remember Tristan Thompson's damn name. He just played 2 months ago in the finals. This has been a joke. This guy is a clown. He tried to alter the questions that came in by complaining about them twice. He complained about the questions last time. He's going to complain about them this time when he loses. It's just a joke, and it's sad that he's gotten on here and wasted all of your time, but I will enjoy eating some steak with his money.
All right. Hold on, and I'll bring Wallace on for his last say. All right, Wallace, your final statement to the judges.
Well, I'm just saying, he's trying to pick any little mistake that somebody say out their mouth, which anybody in society may say a word wrong or two. I knew Shaq only had four titles. Of course I know that. I'm a Laker fan. I'm a Kobe fan. Kobe has five, so I knew Shaq has four. It was just a slip up of my tongue. I knew he had four. I was saying if Duncan passed the Lakers and Kobe, five. Yes, I said yes, and he ties Jordan. That's what I was talking about. And I was not criticizing the question. Only thing I did with Maurice Athey, I just didn't know if he listened to the debate last week, and he knew that the same question. I didn't know whether we was going to do the same questions or not, so I just thought to let them know. Maybe he want to ask another question, or we go ahead and answer it, which we did. So, no, it's nothing
All
to
right.
do with questioning or complaining. I just answer the questions as they were presented. So
okay.
That's all it is. We had a good time debating, and I look forward to doing it again with anybody that's in the IBS.
All right. Ronnie, I appreciate you calling in. Wallace, I appreciate you guys calling in. Judges are requesting a few minutes to look back on some things so they can make an accurate decision. I will keep you guys posted. Hopefully, I can have that within the next 5 minutes. You guys have anything you want to say to each other before we roll out?
I've said enough.
Ronnie?
Be good.
All right. Appreciate you guys calling. Thank you to everybody who called in. This is a part of the Iconoclastically Bombastic Network. You can check us out at sports_IB on Twitter or at iconoclasticallybombasticsports.com. That's online. Click on the Amazon banner. You can buy anything from the Amazon banner. The proceeds go to help our group. We can do more podcasts and come up with better things as well in the group. We do sports, TV, music, and television. Or I said television, TV. All right, cool. I'm your moderator, IBS Eases, and this has been Wallace versus Ronnie, round two. Thanks for listening.
All right. Do we have to hold on?
Yep.
So you giving us the answer right now, or when is... Oh, you didn't lock it? Huh. Where are you?
They waiting on the winner now. They had like a panel of judges going over. That was mine.
I'm going to cut them. How do you need it?